today on Real Radio.
Jesus says, Nathaniel, oh, how's it going? Here's an Israelite in whom there is no guile. This guy is sincere. Jesus makes it clear that he knows Nathaniel, and Nathaniel goes, how do you know these things? He says, well, I saw you sitting underneath the fig tree. He says, thou art the Christ. You are the one. And he says, Nathaniel, you think that, you know, I'm the Messiah because of that? Just stick around, pal. You're going to see some pretty awesome stuff.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In fact, we're in a series within a series, taking a close look at chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing with United in the Gifts.
I remember one time seeing a man crippled in a wheelchair, and I thought for sure God was saying, go to that guy and pray for him that he might be healed. You know what I did? I didn't do anything. I said, no, that can't be you. And I walked away. You know why I did that? Because I didn't want to look like an idiot. That's the only reason. Was it God or was it not God? Well, I don't know. Let's think about it for a minute. First of all, I know God's nature. He loves me, and he loves that crippled man. Why was I thinking about, you know, what's on sale at Home Depot when this thing just came into my mind? It was instantaneous. Should I have responded? I should have responded. Well, what if it would have been wrong? Then I would have looked like a fool. But I sure have looked like a fool in other situations and instances. And you say, well, that's a pretty risky thing. I don't know if I'd do that. How about this? Have you ever been somewhere and the Lord says, share the Lord with that person? Have you ever felt that tug? Has anyone felt that tug? I know why we're not bobbing our heads up and down. It's because we disobey him when he says it. Share right now. Lord, I'm tired. Tell that person about me. Just tell them I love them. Oh, God, come on. To the glory of God, the times that I have obeyed him, it has always worked out with success. Always. Now, when we go to Russia, I'll grab a translator and I'll say, come on, and I'll look like a shark. I'm going through the crowd, and I believe, now this is between me and God, and it may not work for you, but there are 6.5 million people on the streets. So I'm saying, Lord, lead me to the person. You know who it is. Before the world was ever laid, you know the person that I'm going to talk to in any moment. Show me who it is. Pull me to them. And I'm like, I mean, I'm not saying this out loud. This is what I'm thinking. God, let me know. I remember one day we were in Russia, and it was like one of those days, rare moments where, you know what? We couldn't unload the net fast enough. We were reeling in so many people. And it was a clear message concerning the gospel of Jesus. No doubt about it. Led by the Spirit. He loves to do that stuff. And it'd be a thought in your mind. It'd be a thought, just a thought. You'll be doing something and it'd be, Karen, I should call her. And you may be sewing or cooking and, Karen, I should call her. You know what you're supposed to do at that moment? Call Karen. How many times have you done that? I know there's people in here, I'm looking at some of them. You've done that. And Karen was on the other end of the line feeling that nobody cared and nobody loved her anymore. I had it happen to me this week. I was doing my thing and the Lord just dropped this name in my head. Boom. What's this for? It's for what you've been thinking about. You've been wondering about this thing. This is the person. Pick up the phone. Are you able? Can you do it? Yep. Great. Done. Wow. God, you are so awesome. Just a deposit. I like to call it a deposit of the knowledge of God. It's His will. And don't think for a moment you can meander off and I can meander off somewhere. The Lord will speak. He'll give somebody a word of knowledge. A friend of mine who pastors a Calvary Chapel was, he wasn't pastoring at the time, though he was teaching. It had not yet become a Calvary Chapel. It was a huge home fellowship, and this is in another state, and he was battling with smoking. And he had quit, he thought, and then like about 3 weeks had gone by, and he closed his curtains, drew his curtains, and he smoked. And then the following Wednesday or Thursday night that they were meeting, this girl in the fellowship said, "So-and-so, can I talk to you?" "Yeah, sure." "How you doing?" "Oh, great. God's doing this in my life. God's doing that in my life. And after all, can't you tell? I mean, look at the home fellowship's growing, and God is awesome and wonderful. And yeah, well, do you have a problem smoking?" You know what he said? "Me? No, why?" "Because I was on a business trip, and it was about..." Now listen, this is the word of knowledge. "It was about 8:30 on a Saturday night, and I just felt overwhelmingly drawn to pray for you, and I did. And for some reason, your name, me praying and smoking, came into my head. I must have been wrong. I'm sorry." And she walked away. And he later on, he never told her, he later on told some friends of his. He said, "Man, she was right on. It was right to the moment." Word of knowledge. And that's the word of knowledge as God uses it. There's a demonic power called clairvoyance. And then there's demonic deception, where God will put things in your mind to drive you nuts, and He'll make you think that this is going on or that situation's happening, and, "Oh yeah, look, this is the word of knowledge, and that's why, you know, you should slap your dog when he comes home or bite your daughter because she's been off in the..." No, be careful. Everything's to be tested with the word, always. But the word of knowledge, very powerful. Some quick examples, and then we'll end this. In John chapter 1, there's a beautiful example there. Remember Philip and Nathanael? Philip meets Jesus. Philip takes off to tell Nathanael, "You got to come see the Messiah. We found Him, of whom Israel's been waiting for. You got to come see Him." Remember, he says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And as he's walking towards Jesus, Jesus says, "Nathanael, oh, how's it going? Here's an Israelite in whom there is no guile." This guy is sincere. And he comes up, and Jesus makes it clear that he knows Nathanael. And Nathanael goes, "How do you know these things?" He says, "Well, I saw you sitting underneath the fig tree." He says, "Thou art the Christ. You are the one." And he says, "Nathanael, you think that I'm the Messiah because of that? Just stick around, pal. You're going to see some pretty awesome stuff." Word of knowledge. Jesus exercised it regarding Nathanael and Philip. That's John 1. In John chapter 4, remember the woman at the well? She's a Samaritan. She's drawing water out of a well. Jesus is in the area of the Samaritans, where he ought not to be if he's concerned about reputation. He's a Jew. She's a Samaritan. She's there drawing water. Jesus comes up, and there's a little exchange there going on, and she's kind of, you read it, she's kind of flirty. There's an insinuation of her. She's kind of flirting around. And Jesus is talking to her, and he says, "You know, why don't you go get your husband, or go tell your husband, or whatever." And she says, "Well, I don't have a husband." And he says, "Well, you certainly have answered that correctly." He says, "You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. You're living in fornication and adultery, one or the other, or both." And all of a sudden, you could see her go, "Ah, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Word of knowledge. Matthew chapter 21. Regarding the Passover, Jesus sends two of his disciples to go get the little colt that no one has ever ridden on. And he says, when you go there, if somebody asks you, why are you taking the colt, just tell them that the master has need. Word of knowledge. And you might be saying, well, that's Jesus. Yeah? Well, jot this down. 2 Kings chapter 6. This is a great one about the word of knowledge in the Old Testament. Ben-Hadad was a nasty guy. He was planning to invade Israel, and he was drawing up war plans to do it. And they're out there with their slide rule and everything, and okay, man, when this happens, you catapult this thing, and, you know, we'll do this, and this is a great plan. And there's just a huddle of a bunch of guys together making their secret plan to attack Israel. And God says to Elijah, "Hey, Elijah, this is the plan that Ben-Hadad is working on." So he tells the king of Israel, and the plan is twisted and thwarted. So God was so predictable in this situation, but using Elijah's the one to possess the word of knowledge, God was telling him these things. He was depositing them in Elijah's life. Those guys, every time they tried something, they got foiled. So the king goes, Hadad goes, "Listen, we're going to start killing people. One of you guys are a rat in here. And we're going to just start cutting heads off because one of you guys is a fink." And they said, "Now, wait a minute. None of us have been finking on you, Ben. Here's the deal. God has got a prophet down in Israel. He even knows what you and your wife are talking about on your bed at night. God tells him everything. And we can't overcome this." Another place in Scripture is in 2 Kings chapter 5 regarding Naaman, the general of the Syrian army. Remember, he's told to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times? And he does that and gets healed, and he's so happy. And Elisha's got an assistant pastor named Gehazi. And Naaman goes, "I want to give you gold and stuff for this incredible healing that you brought into my life." And Elijah says, "No way, just go, you know, praise the Lord." And he goes away. And Elijah goes to his place. And Gehazi watches Elijah go home and Naaman head off. And Gehazi takes off after Naaman and says, oh, there's been a change of plans. We've got some visitors coming in from out of town, and we need some money after all." It's pretty funny because, well, what do you, I'm willing to give you I don't remember what the weight was, but it was worth about $10,000. I'm willing to give you $10,000 or whatever you need. And the Gehazi goes, "Well, how about $20,000? We have some guys visiting, and we're going to need like $20,000 and some clothes and..." So he gets all this booty, and he's going to keep it away from Elijah. And then Elijah gets this thought in his head, "Where's Gehazi?" And winds up busting him. God will reveal secrets, and he'll do it through the word of knowledge. Some of the time, hopefully most of the time, it's for wonderful things. You're seeking the Lord, and you're wondering about something, and it might come through even a radio ministry, or it might come through something or someone, or maybe a friend might come up and say, "I've been praying for you, and I got this verse, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to give it to you," and that's your answer. If that has ever happened to you, that is the word of knowledge in action. It's a wonderful gift. We need to be sensitive to the Lord about it. Listen to Him. It'll come through thoughts or urges. It's non-coincidental events and times that God intervenes in our lives, and He'll use others to do it through this gift. It's a wonderful thing. If you can close your Bible, we can rest right now. And I want to say something just personally for me, and I don't know if it is true in your life, but you might be asking the question, gosh, maybe I have that gift. How will I know if I have the gift of the word of knowledge? One of the things is that you'll realize or you'll understand, or maybe you already know this, that God will have or is calling you or shall call you into some form of a public type ministry. And that doesn't mean crowds necessarily. It could mean counseling with your friends. It could mean a very precious and quiet ministry of exhortation to this body. Chuck, you may have the gift and the Lord leads you and you wind up talking to Mitch and it's a blessing to Mitch. And Terry, you might have it and it's ministered over here, you know, to Jeff. And it's public, though it's not in a mass group of people. It works so often, I think, at large that way. You'll notice that you will be a student of the Word. You'll be one who's prone to the study, to the reading of your Bible, and to the acquiring of knowledge from the Scriptures. God will use that knowledge and deposit His knowledge regarding the situation. You'll have a concern for words. You'll be careful what is said. I assure you, anyone who's a gossip will not have the word of knowledge. God will not give it to them. They can't keep their mouth shut. Something comes into them and off it goes, or they'll cut, or they'll use their tongue to damage or to tear down people. God will not give that person not only that gift, I don't think God will give them public speaking gifts. There's a responsibility. Last verse, I know I told you to close your Bible, just it's okay, listen to it in your head. Daniel 11:32 says, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and shall carry out great exploits." What is the prerequisite? To know their God. I get asked questions, and more the Lord is using you, it's unfortunate, but the more God uses you, I wind up being asked the questions when you should be asked the questions, because God's doing it through you. People will ask, though, how did you guys know to do this? How did you know to do that? Wasn't it a scary thing to do the coffee house? You didn't know what, or what about, you know, Russia? Or what? Listen, I can honestly tell you this, that when we went to a Monday night Bible study, God gave us a scripture first. When we went from a Monday night to a Sunday morning in the house, God had given us scriptures. I remember when we went from the house to Unit 14, God had given us a verse. I remember when time came as the church began to grow, when I was trying to decide, God, do I quit my job or do I do the church? What should I do? I remember God gave me a verse to quit my job and that career. I remember on June 26th, 1992, God gave me a verse concerning Russia. Verse. When it came to the expansion across the way and then over to here, God gave me a verse. He always gives a verse. Chapel Creek Book and Coffee, God had given a verse. It was no risk on our part. It wasn't like, oh, we hope it works. We've never done that. God's always given us a verse first. In the expansion of the Chapel Creek offices across the way on Telephone Avenue, God gives a verse before we do it. It's not a risk. It's always a verse before we act on something. It's prayed over and thought on and confirmed from the Lord, by the Lord. The outreach to Germany last winter was confirmed by a verse. I didn't know what to expect. I'd never been there before. We packed up, didn't we? We went and gone. We went, took off, and God blessed wonderfully. We'll be back there again. We have Brussels coming up. We've been invited to plant a Calvary Chapel in Brussels. There's no Calvary Chapel there. Are we going to do it? I don't know. It depends if he gives us a verse. It's not a long shot. Everything that God calls us to do as Christians will always be a step of faith. But you will find it's always the challenge is given to put faith in his word and to step on his word. You have a venture that you're thinking about? You're wondering? Listen, does it glorify God? Will it benefit his people? Is it a thought cooking in your head? Ask God to give you a verse if it's from him. And then pick it up and run like a wild man, because he's filling your sails. He's in it. And it's a wonderful thing when everyone begins to pull guns out at you and shoot you and criticize and whatever. It won't matter. It doesn't matter, because you got a verse. And it doesn't matter what people say. In or out of the church, God has spoken to you. We won't do anything without a verse. And he's got to burn it in our hearts. And I want to leave you with this verse. Titus 2:13 says, "While we wait for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior," his name? Jesus Christ, it says. Now that's a verse. And I'm waiting any moment now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, commonly known simply as Ephesians. What we're hearing is Jack's series within a series that takes a close look at chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16 of Ephesians. It's called United in the Gifts, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've been telling you about the Southern California Prophecy Conference coming up here in February at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about it. Pastor Jack?
Mike, it is a different world out there. Listen, this year's Prophecy Conference theme, which, you know, we brought about this theme, we think, from the Lord many months ago, finding hope in the global crisis. And I just think the title itself is prophetic. This is the Southern California Prophecy Conference, February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And I think, Mike, it is going to be the answer to a lot of people's dilemma and struggles that they're going through. Because the quality of speakers, what they're going to be bringing to us, and the timeliness of it. So I'm asking everyone to make their way here to Southern California, if you're able, to join us February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. I tell you, it is an amazing time. You're going to want to hear what these wonderful teachers of the Word of God are going to deliver to us. I look forward to meeting you, but I tell you what, these are amazing times. Christian, look up. The Lord could come at any time. You can get more information by visiting us at SoCalProphecyConference.com, SoCalProphecyConference.com. We look forward to seeing you here at what will no doubt become a great event and a great encouragement to your understanding in these times, finding hope in the global crisis.
Okay, again, find out more by visiting RealRadioActive.org, RealRadioActive.org, or by calling us toll-free at 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.